gotta love technical difficulties.
I know. I do appreciate the countdown, but I still had like a frozen face ready to go. That's okay.
Most people won't see the actual video of this.
This is true. That's probably a good thing, because you told me I have poofy hair today.
Poofy. I'm just trying to find a way to get past the whole your complaint about the headphones thing.
I know, every time.
Every damn
time. Besides for that, good morning.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Motivate You, the podcast brought to you by Motivate Advisors and Motivate Investments. Great to be with each and every one of you. Thank you so much for taking time to listen to our show, as always. It is growing, and we are appreciating the feedback from people, the emails. We haven't gotten any hate mail, which has been good.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
I mean,
sure, it's just a matter of time.
As you grow, it comes with the game, I suppose.
Yeah, it's like taxes.
I mean, people might disagree with some of the stuff we say, but I don't think there's anything outlandish.
There's not too
except
much
for me,
with.
You know, dropping curse words every once in a while.
Yeah, you and your potty mouth.
I know.
We're getting better at it, though, and we do not have a 20-second delay like the high-end shows.
Right. Luckily, we're not SEC. SEC? FCC.
FCC.
We are SEC. Yes. We're not FCC.
And here it starts, everybody. You definitely trust this show. No. Welcome, everyone. My name is Mike Terrio. I'm joined with Cassiata Farrow.
Morning.
Great to be with you all today. It's been a little bit since we've been on the podcast air. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to be back. I just got back from a bucket list type of trip.
Yes.
That's been... it was something that was really, really just pretty cool to even sit back and think and fathom, and not even, it seems so surreal. I took my own boat across the Atlantic from Florida to the Bahamas.
Yeah. Amazing.
Like when you say it a lot, it sounds really,
yeah.
Really, what was amazing to me though, was all the small little things that you had to do that I had no idea.
To be prepped and ready for.
Oh man. I mean, the amount of planning that went into it,
mm-hmm.
You know, the amount of plan that went into, you know, getting the right decals from Homeland Security, making sure you have the right yellow flag for when you go into another country as a quarantine flag, so that they can clear you through customs, knowing how to get through customs.
Right.
You know, it's a whole different deal. And that's after you've had to figure out how to get there, how to follow the compass, how to follow your navigation, how to try to get past the waves, depending upon what's going on with the wind and, mm-hmm. and, you know, Gulf Stream, and then how much food to pack.
How much water, how many people, what's the weight, make sure you have enough gas.
Yeah.
It's definitely like with anything, any type of journey in life, whether it's physical or not, you have to have a plan.
Yeah. And it did make me think a lot about what we do on a day in, day out basis. You know, I used to always tell people when I was a kid, growing up in Minneapolis, Minnesota area, we grew up very poor. And I remember we spent close to 2.5, maybe even 3 full years saving so that our family could go down to Disney World. And it was about, let's just call it 2 years roughly. So, you know, I remember we sat back and for 2 years, we made plans. We budgeted, we found pennies, we put them in jars. Like we went big time.
Mm-hmm.
We spent over 700 days discussing what we are going to do to make the most of our 7 days.
I was going
to
say, how long were you there? 7 days?
Yeah, I think it was 7 days. And which one of them actually gotten taken away from us because of a blizzard. But 7 days, we spent 700 days as a family, dinner time, talking about what we're going to do. What about this? What about that? Should we go to Clearwater and go sailing and hopefully see some dolphins? Should we go to Disney World for the 3 days? You know, Universal Studios at this time wasn't even a thing here, I believe, at the time.
No, yeah, I think it was just Disney and Epcot.
Showing you my age a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but, you know, all these different things. We spent 7 hour days planning 7. And then I look at retirement planning,
mm-hmm.
and I realize how many people don't even spend 7 days planning 30 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, quite the flip, and to have so many different variables and mm-hmm. things that can happen, and, you know, not just with life, but what's happening with the market. I mean, obviously no one would anticipate what happened last year, and we're all still kind of trying to come through it.
Well, you got to have something that's a plan. So, you know, when we were looking at the seas originally to go over there on Saturday, the seas we're looking at being roughly 2-foot seas at 9-second, you know, duration. So pretty darn flat,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah, not too
I mean,
bad.
Really, really, really easy. And so that was our plan. But as everyone says in the boating world, it's you make plan, or you make, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like you have goals, but you don't have expectations with it because, you know, every time you think you've got to figure it out, you know, God throws out different waves, different patterns and storms. And that's exactly what happens. So when we were going to bed on Friday night, we realized that there was some storms coming in. And so if you look at our tracks, because we lay tracks down when we go on, you know, on the water, mm-hmm. kind of, I call it the breadcrumbs. They're not straight. It was not a straight trip because we had to go in and out and all around different storms. And so, you know, it normally would have taken us about 2.5 hours. It took us about 3.5 hours to get there because we were dodging storms. And I felt like I got abused and beaten by a group of ninjas because it was a rough ride.
Yeah. Well, and you have to stay really, really focused too. When you're on the water and there's waves, you're not just cruising. You have to watch which direction they're coming in, you know, the intervals that they are. Yeah.
Yeah. The way there, I will say, was definitely not relaxing. But you know, then you get to the destination and it's amazing. Right? Mm-hmm. You get to the destination. It's amazing. It's just so similar to retirement planning. I always tell people, have a retirement plan that's structured enough that you can count on it, but flexible enough that when new waves come out or the storms show up and life has its own obstacles, right? There's plenty of that. We can go through them if you want, but that we're able to navigate through them or hit those balls out of the park, if you will.
Yeah. Right? And be able to adjust nimbly as well.
So, you know, kind of going into the conversation you and I had this morning on the way here, I was talking to Cassie and I said, you know, we've seen a pretty significant uptick in production. Yeah. And seeing what's happening with producers, and I'm sure you guys, hopefully you're seeing that in your own practice. If you're not, great show to listen to, because I asked her and it was kind of funny. I said, well, what are people doing? And it took her, it took her like good 5 minutes to give me answers.
Well, I don't know about 5 minutes, I pondered for a little bit to kind of formulate. What are they doing? Is there something specific? Well, and that was the thing is, as I'm, you know, kind of thinking of our advisors and what they're doing, you know, one person was doing marketing A, another person was doing marketing B, someone else was doing C and B. So I was kind of going through my little checklist and you're right. Everyone is doing something, but they're doing something different.
Right. But they're also doing it consistently.
Yes.
Which is a big deal. So, you know, that was an eye opener for me, you know, looking at mm-hmm. to see kind of where everyone's at, you know, walking by your office this morning and seeing, you know, the top producers that we have in our group and seeing who's doing the marketing stuff right now, who's putting themselves out there in front of clients. It's big. It's a big deal. The other thing you mentioned though, too, was when you said, well, is it what the clients are doing or that the advisor doing, or is it something that the clients are looking for?
Right. That the public is looking for. And right. I think really it's both sides right now.
Sure.
And you kind of mentioned it, you know, the public is always looking for help. That's nothing new. But I think there's just so many changes and so much uncertainty right now that they're really, really looking for someone who can guide them in the right direction with everything that they're doing. And you're right, the advisors that are recognizing this and noticing it and staying in front of people, they're doing really, really well.
Yeah. So, you know, it's now staying in front of people is going to be different for different people.
Sure. Right? Of like course.
You and I discuss this all the time. What works for me down here in Florida mm-hmm. May not work for people in Texas. What's working for people in Texas may not be great in Minnesota and California and all the other states that we have advisors in. You know, it's going to be different. Okay. So, you know, one thing I kind of wanted to go through a little bit today were some of the different strategies that we're using and that we use on a consistent basis within even my own practice, my own firm, but things that we feel are kind of absolute must-dos.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And the things that we feel are kind of the cultivation, kind of the catalyst, and to kind of, you know, refamiliarize everybody with those two terms. Catalysts are the type of marketing initiatives that we believe are designed to give you the most immediate.
Correct.
Right. The most immediate type of response. Results.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of, you know, say it as it's how you get in front of the most amount of people in the shortest amount of time.
Right.
And then the caveat to that is most of the time the catalyst is a little bit more expensive too. But
it can be. Also be profitable much faster. So
of course
there's going to be those catch-22s, right, or those trade-offs. And then cultivations are going to be things that you're building over time that all of a sudden, eventually, without even knowing it, they turn into your catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
it's kind of a cool thing. So let's kind of go through some of these different things, some of the different strategies that people could be doing. And, you know, when we set up our marketing plan, just so you're all aware, we sit down at least on a quarterly basis, but normally it's at least monthly and try to always go out another quarter mm-hmm. and plan what we want to be doing on a quarterly basis. That provides you the third component, which is probably the most important one, the consistency with everything. So you have on here some absolute must-dos, 1 to 2 9 and dines per month. Talk to me.
Yeah. So, and I mean, these are always going to be able to adjust based off of your demographic, your area, and really who your ideal client or your niche is. So obviously in Florida, we have a lot of golfers, retirees golf a lot. So, you know, something that you can do or just use in a different direction is we would do nine and dine. So what that means is the advisor would take one of their clients out, have them invite a friend, you would shoot nine holes and have lunch with them. Yep. You know, so it's just a good way to solidify relationships with your current clients, but also meet somebody in a non-pressure type of way.
Yep.
And when you think about, you know, your marketing and who you're marketing to, think of what do affluent people do? You know, they do golf. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're on boats. And we'll kind of go through this. They're a philanthropist. So maybe they're at charitable yep. organizations. Someone dropped one on me and they said plastic surgeons. Most people who are doing elective plastic surgery, they might have a little bit of money. Maybe that's a person to, you know, connect with, make friends with, get into your network, into your COI.
Side note, we binge watched a little bit of Botched this last weekend while we were in the Bahamas. We were getting ready. That was like the only show that really came in really well at the hotel, the resort. So we saw a lot of plastic surgeries gone wrong.
I know. I watch it too. It's really sad. It's bad stuff. I mean, you just hear about these doctors that just, Yeah.
Anyways, so the nine to nine is from an advisor's perspective. So, you know, Cassie looks at it from the marketing side. I'm looking at it more from the advisor perspective. It's a fantastic way. And it's about a 3-hour commitment out of your day. And really what you're doing is you're re-solidifying the relationship with your existing client. And then the other client is basically recommending you or bringing you, you know, another person that could be a good fit. So what's really important when you look at these nine to nines is when you're asking the individual to go with you, you want to make sure you're asking the right type of people to go with you so that they are surrounded by the same type of people, which can be really great. Also, kind of a side note, little asterisk deal, when you're golfing, you don't have to actually be that good. In fact, I'm pretty terrible. I'm a terrible golfer. And I always tell people that's how you know I'm good at what I do as far as a financial advisor, because I'm not on the golf course all the time. You can tell I'm normally in the office helping solve problems because I'm pretty bad. But it's not uncommon for someone to ask you, hey, Mike, so, you know, Paul told me that you're an investment advisor. What do you think about this right now? Or what do you think I should be doing with this? And really what I do at that point is I deflect. And I basically say, look, you know what, Jim, Paul thought we could be a good fit and that we could maybe talk about some stuff, but let's talk about these things more in person. What I'm going to do is have Barb from my office give you a call and we'll set up a time where you and I can sit down on a one-on-one. That way we can focus on golf and just have fun today, because I need all the focus I can get.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important thing too, is when you're doing these, suppose, you know, the fun events, it's not to talk business.
It doesn't have to be
salesy.
It's
really, it actually hurts you more if you're salesy while you're talking to someone. Just take it as an introduction, get to know them as a person, you know, let them know you as a person. Hopefully you're a good person and they can really see that.
Sure.
You know, I remember you told me a story before that you were at the Masters, and another gentleman started pitching one of the golfers and it was just the slimiest thing. And everybody was cringing watching him do this.
I remember that.
Yeah. So, and that's never going to yield a good result for you.
So uncomfortable. I'm so glad that, oh boy, that was not good.
Yeah.
Two other things that we talk about though, excuse me, that are going to be more on the kind of a, I don't know, they're on the fence between catalyst and cultivation, but would be your top 20 or your farm club.
Yes.
And I really say they're kind of the two, because you're cultivating, it may not happen right away, but what you're trying to do with your top 20 or your farm club is stay front of mind with the top people that you want to surround yourself with and want to build your practice off of. So every single quarter, I sit down, I put together a top 20, the top 20 people that I want to see over the next 90 days. And I give that list to Barb, and it's her job to make sure that we get those 20 people in for an appointment over the next 90 days.
Well, and normally the top 20 in the farm club are different. The top 20 are going to be your top 20 clients.
Existing clients.
Correct.
Existing relationships. Now, but it also doesn't necessarily have to be top 20 existing clients. It could also be top 20 existing referral relationships. Mm-hmm. It can be, you know, top 20, whatever, something that's going to help generate the business, but that I want to see on a consistent basis, that we have a working knowledge and working relationship with each other. The farm club is going to be 20 other people that either got away.
Yep.
Maybe they're the client that just wasn't the right time. Maybe someone came in that you wanted to help, but you just didn't have the right strategy for them. And poof, a new company comes up with a new, you know, new strategy, and it's going to be a great fit. You want to talk to them. you know, maybe something changed in their life, whatever mm-hmm. it is, that's the farm club.
Right.
Farm club is also a great time to get in front of people like our P2P, you know, when you're getting in front of your different professionals and trying to reach relationships, that's a great program for that type of thing within meeting those farm clubs as well. So what we recommend is having 3 to 4 appointments a week with those type of individuals. Mm-hmm. Now those appointments can be phone calls. Now we know appointments can definitely be webinars.
Yeah.
They can be 30 minutes at length. You know, it's just a matter of gauging the interest. Mm-hmm. And if the interest is there, we would highly recommend then trying to get a face-to-face with a good 1 hour appointment to kind of go through some of the different strategies that you're able to help with.
Yeah. And it's really just kind of touching base. I'm pretty sure all advisors have that one that got away, and it wasn't necessarily a no, it was just not right now. And then we look at, you know, that's really a cultivation and a consistent strategy because you have to be the one that's staying in front of them. If they have a problem and it still needs to be solved, it's just a matter of timing. If you're not reaching out to them, if you're not staying in front of them, they're going to allow someone else to solve that issue for you. Sure. Lose that opportunity.
Sure. So it's a really important thing. Now, one thing we have is we have a fantastic system here at Motivate. We use a CRM that we've designed called Automate, which is a fantastic way to make farm club stuff happen automatically. So oftentimes what I can do is I can pick that farm club and I can go through and create a farm club list of those top 20 people and send an email
campaign
yep. to people. That's an automated campaign over the 90-day time period, talking to them about getting in addition, Barb can be calling them, but it's a plug and play. You push a button, then it's going to be done for you. The solicitation's there. Mm-hmm. So it's a great, great way to get in front of people that are important that you already know they qualify.
Right.
Right. You already know the ins and outs of them. It's just a matter of building that cultivation relationship a little bit more in depth.
Yep. And getting them in. And then it goes along with it. We suggest doing almost like a university or an in-house workshop. Now, this mm-hmm. is not necessarily, this isn't necessarily something that you're, you know, advertising on social media. You're sending a piece of mail to generate new prospects. This is working with your current clients in your current book. And again, it's a cultivation strategy, offering them new education. It's a good relationship building. You're providing them touch points. You're providing them something beneficial. And then you can invite them to bring a friend as well. Yeah. So we call them in-house seminars. So if you have the capacity, or you could do it even at, you know, a hotel room or something else, but all it is strictly education that you are providing for your clients and some of their friends, just because you want to, just because it's important to you for them to know these things.
Yeah. I love these things because whether it's a university, whether it's a focus group, or we're discussing with them our different company, we're able to pick out 5-10 top tier, the exact type of people that we want to come in. And normally what we do is we focus more on a particular strategy.
Right.
So, you know, when we do our seminars, oftentimes we're talking about several different strategies. We're a little bit more generic in nature. We're not really necessarily solving everyone's individual problems, but because of the CRM that we have and the way that we have things structured, we're able to go and say, okay, who could benefit from the 7702 strategy?
Yep.
Who could benefit from a bucket plan? Who could benefit from talking about utilizing life insurance as a tax strategy? Who could benefit from a Roth conversion? Who could benefit? And we could pick these different things, send them directly to these clients and saying, look, you've been pre-selected because of your relationship with the Terrier Group, but we know you. You've been pre-selected for this in-house, you know, university. We'd like you to come in. My goal is not 30 people. My goal is not even 20 people. My goal is like 5 to 10 people. Come on in, sit in my office with me, and let's just discuss a specific strategy. And to date, I've never had one that didn't work.
No. And I mean, you can also, you know, other people call it a lunch and learn. Mm-hmm. You know, if they come in maybe in the afternoon and you do, you know, do your workshop, do your educational piece, and then give them some lunch.
Yeah. When we do ours, usually breakfast.
Breakfast, whatever you want to do.
But it works out very, very slick. And then the focus group actually is basically sitting down with people who have kind of been clients here for a long time, but maybe they're not fully aware of all the things that you can do.
Well, and the focus group is a different strategy than the lunch and learn or the in-house workshop. Focus group is really it kind of solves two things. I'll help you.
I was transitioning.
I'll help you. That's what I'm here for.
Thanks.
That's what I'm here for, to make you look better.
That is definitely, you need to work harder.
I'll step on my game. Anyways, the focus group is about your business. And it's a neat strategy because you bring them in and maybe you have them look at a new website, or read some new emails or discuss a new strategy, and you're asking the client to help you improve your business and help you improve, you know, how you're doing things and how you're helping clients, and they really feel that they are a part of your world and you value their opinion, which is really, really important. Sure. They just don't want to have a transactional relationship with their advisor. So on the flip side, you get to learn really what people are looking for. And again, it's enhancing that relationship. And if they walk out and they say, gosh, Mike, I forgot to tell you, I came into some money. I've got, you know, $300,000 sitting in the bank account. What should I do with it? And maybe they wouldn't have, you know, thought to give you that information as soon if you're just meeting with them on a quarterly basis or, you know.
Well, you know, when I first got in the business, I was doing majority of my business. Well, actually, pretty much all my business was annuities. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit of life insurance, like we talked about. And as I progressed, you know, we're much more holistic in nature. We're doing the annuities, we're doing life insurance, we're doing, you know, investment planning, we're doing all these different things now. While I knew I was making those adjustments, those changes, not all of my clients knew that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I remember one of my first focus groups where I brought people in and they didn't even know that we did things other than annuities. So if you're an advisor out there right now, who's been kind of pigeonholed into a corner of just doing one particular thing, but you do all these different things, this is a really great way of reintroducing yourself, yes, reintroducing your practice to them, to let them know that you can help them in other ways, because more than likely they like you and they would love to have everything in one place.
Yeah. Or if you, maybe you just got your 65 or, you know, your securities license and you want to let them know that, mm-hmm, in, you know, a more personal and effective way, do a focus group.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're really great ways to go about these type of things. You know, then there's some other ones that we can kind of get into a little bit later, you know, as we dive in. But the big thing is to be doing these things on a consistent basis, right? So when you go through a marketing dashboard with someone, and I don't have one pulled up, but you might want to pull one up. But when you go through a marketing dashboard, you know, what Cassie does is she sits down with the advisors and she says, basically, what are your goals, mm-hmm, right? What are your realistic goals? Is it $10 million of new production this year? And how much of that's investments? How much of that is annuities? You know, right. You know, what are you looking to try to create there? And then we look and say, what do you currently have in your book, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. How much AUM do you currently have? How much annuities do you currently have? How much of that's qualified versus non-qualified? And so we get pretty granular with your business model. And we do this on purpose so that we can discuss the exact strategies that we need to take and, mm-hmm, what you can do to put yourself in that position of control with your own business. And it's really amazing to me, because what we see is it's oftentimes the two main components that I see, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I see, there's two major issues with people's marketing. One is it's not consistent. Mm-hmm. And two is when they get the people into the office, they don't know how to close them.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll look at, so on top of just looking at production numbers and what they're doing, we actually, you know, we really want to deep dive into their close ratio and their appointment attrition as well. And I've shown people, you know, let's say they want to hit $10 million. They're doing all this marketing, and by tweaking just that close ratio or just that appointment attrition, it makes their goal that much more achievable. I mean, it can cut the number of prospects that you need in half, mm-hmm, even more so, you know, 75%, because they're able to use those two things. So, you know, I think what we try and do is look at everything as a whole. It's not just about getting, I'm going to say, because everyone knows it, asses in the seats. Yes, that is extremely important, but you can be wasting time. You can be wasting money if you're not looking past that point in what you need to do.
Yeah, I think our industry has gotten too macro versus micro, because you're right, getting asses in the seats is a goal for a lot of different people. But man, we see issues from, you know, the follow-up before seminar, mm-hmm, can cost you tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars of potential profit.
Yeah.
Right? Just screwing things up before the seminar. Screwing things up at the seminar, mm-hmm, can cost you. Screwing things up after the seminar. You know, if you're a person that's booking 80 or 90% appointments at these seminars, and then you're having 80 to 90% attrition after the fact, and you're only getting one, maybe two to show up to your office, that's an issue that we have to address.
Yeah,
and the great news is we can help you with that, because we know what those type of scenarios are. And so it's a matter of connecting all those dots to figure, mm-hmm, out what's going on and structure it. Then what you will do is you'll say, well, based upon those numbers and what they're looking for their goals and their business numbers, how many different types of campaigns do we need to be doing every single month?
Right.
Our recommendation is not being one-dimensional. right? Just like I mentioned with the boating conversation, it wasn't a straight shot to get to the Bahamas for me. Same thing when you're going on an airplane. You hear there are times where they will go around storms and it's a different trip than what they initially planned. You have to always be willing to call an audible. Mm-hmm. But also keep in mind that dear different types of clients, many of the clients that you want to meet will never come to a dinner summit.
Oh yeah. And I try and tell people that all the time, even when you're just looking at different mediums of how you're, you know, engaging with prospects. Are you doing it more organically? Mm-hmm. Are you using social media? Is it virtual? Is it, you know, in-house something like a seminar? Because you're absolutely right. People respond to different things. So we were running a Facebook seminar for one of our advisors and we create all of the ads and they go through Facebook. So I always send them to the advisor, obviously beforehand to make sure they're good to go. And he called me and he was like, I'm really confused. What am I looking at? So I got on the phone with him and his team. And he said, I see three of the same pictures. Why are we running three of the same pictures? And I said, no, you have to read the content because even if the pictures are the same, the content's going to be different. One person's going to like this content. One person is going to like that content. Mm-hmm. So I was explaining to him the small little pieces that really have to be working together to get in front of a variety of people. Because, you know, back to it, not everybody is attracted to the same thing. So even, you know, a picture change within an ad can drive different results for you.
And I never believed that until I actually saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
When we sat down and we started looking at building these things out through social media and we looked at one ad campaign could actually have 184 different ads because of all the different ways you could structure it. We had three different pictures, three different copies,
right.
Three different titles,
yeah,
and different specific interests, right? And what you have to try is you have to try one picture with one ad copy with one title and one specific interest. And then switch all that up.
Yep. And change them and just kind of rotate everything.
And I was amazed at how the exact same copy, exact same title could attract completely different numbers based upon the picture.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
But it is, that's part of the trial and error. That's part of the data. Here's the good news. We've done it for you.
Right.
So we already know what data works and how those different things are going to be structured. So, you know, so then you basically go and you build out how many campaigns you need. And like we said, don't be any one dimensional. We want to make sure we're looking at things like, you know, using your universities, using your focus groups, the nine and dines, birthday lunches, which we can go to through later, but all those different things. Marketing doesn't always have to be just one thing. And I think what you'll also notice is as we went through this, and I'm saying not all marketing has to be expensive either.
Right.
Right. There are certain things you're going to need to spend money on. You need to put money into your business. It's a business. And with all due respect, you need to spend money to make money in business in a lot of different ways. However, once you've been doing this long enough, you should have some sort of database of things are done right to be able to cultivate and do some things inexpensively. Mm-hmm. And still drive more and more business to your practice.
Well, and hopefully you can refine and you can see what's working. So when we talk about campaigns, what we mean is different marketing initiatives. And, you know, we just kind of went through 10 different things. Mm-hmm. There's a million different things that you can do for marketing. I run into a lot of advisors that it can be really overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, I have all these choices. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do first. So to make it as simple as I can, we choose three things.
That quarter.
Three things for that quarter. Mm-hmm. Three projects, three marketing initiatives, whatever it is, we're only doing three. They all have to be different.
Yep.
And then we get to see, okay, one and two worked really well. Three wasn't fabulous. And I tell advisors all the time, marketing is not 100%. It never will be. If someone pitches you that it's going to work every single time, no matter what, either they have a crystal ball, which I have not come across yet, or they're full of baloney. Mm-hmm. So you have, you know, kind of with the trip, you have to be able to adapt. Not everything's going to be perfect. So you have to find what is.
Baloney has a first name. Nothing.
No, I was giving Blanda. Very good advice. And you start singing baloney.
Right. I mean, but then there's also different marketing strategies for different places, different time periods in your business.
Of course.
So we look at different tiers. At Motivate, when we look at an advisor's business, we look at tier one all the way to tier four. Not one of them is better than the other. It's just a matter of what your progression needs to look like, right?
Where you are right now.
Certain marketing fits. But if you're a tier one advisor where you're basically just getting things started, you might be on your own. Maybe you don't have any type of staff members. Maybe you don't have a CRM, you know, so you don't have a database or your database is 50 people or whatever it's going to be. Then going out there and, you know, doing things like radio that are expensive mm-hmm. and take a long time to generate any type yeah. of business, that might not be an awesome way to go about it. It may not be an awesome way just to hope that newsletters fill you up. You got 50
with your
people,
50 people,
you know?
Yeah.
So there are different types of marketing you should be doing. I don't necessarily recommend getting a billboard in a television show when you're brand new in the business.
Mm-hmm. Unless you just have a whole lot of dough that you're willing to drop to see if it works. I don't suggest that, but nope. You know,
I don't know if I would ever suggest that. No. I've done it and it's not,
it
awesome.
Didn't work.
Well, and keep in mind, as I say to my children, do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
I spent $30,000 on broadcast television in 1 month and got zero leads. So what we're talking about, all the things that we're talking about here are things that I've done personally and still continue to do. To build my business, to build my practice, to build my relationships with my clients, and to help make sure that I'm maintaining and growing the way that I want to.
Yeah. And we see, you know, what our advisors are doing in that, and that educates us as much as it educates them. It's always nice when you have proof in the pudding. So when we have a certain number of advisors doing a marketing initiative and we see success with that, that's what we want to introduce to other people and always be refining and making it better too.
Right on. I completely agree. So when you look at the whole situation with marketing right now, what do you think is the biggest mistake people are making?
Not doing something. And it's
sounds kind of simple.
It does.
That's okay. That's what it is. That's what it is.
What I run across, and it always blows my mind, is a lot of advisors are business owners. They are entrepreneurs, but they have this expectation that leads are just going to fall into their lap. And they don't understand when that doesn't happen. And I don't think there's a business in the world that can just imagine people and they're going to come into their office. It takes work. It takes time and it takes money. And the best way to do that is to have a strategic plan on how to spend your time, how to spend your money, and really
with proven results.
Yeah. And then, you know, as the advisor, you build from there, you do something different. But if you're just hoping, it's not going to work and it's not going to happen. And that it kind of frustrates me and kills me all at the same time.
Do you think that has to do with the fact that you mentioned earlier that people are overwhelmed? I mean, is that what it is? Is it that they're overwhelmed or is it just that they're not fully prepared for it? Cause no one's ever really taught them how, because, both. And I'll throw this at you. Most FMOs, RAs and things of that nature are having you work with people that have never actually been in the business.
Right.
Right. That's where one thing that we feel is a really big differentiating value is, we still run a business. I still see clients. I'll see clients next week. So it's to be able to help people with an advisor and agent development, you know, program like what we have. I think it's important that you have to have that proven deal. And I think for a lot of people, it's just really freaking overwhelming.
It is.
As to where to start and can I do it right, especially for your solopreneur.
Right. And if they have, you know, this much of their budget and they have to do this marketing initiative, it can be very scary to put that money out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just kind of said marketing is imperfect. So most definitely, you know, it's a little bit nerve wracking. They don't really know, is it going to work? I have this much money to put towards it. I have to get clients out of it. And because of that, maybe they stall.
So just like within, you know, actual investment management, diversification of your marketing is probably not a bad idea. Yeah.
No, of course not.
Nice.
Yeah. You have to have stuff that's going to cost money. Do other stuff that's a little bit cheaper.
So can you make it easy for them?
Call me, guys. No, no, for real. But if you want to have this conversation, if you feel like you're a little stuck, you're frustrated, you don't know what way to go, give me a shout. I love doing this stuff. I love helping our advisors, you know, take that first step and see success. So call me at 772-247-4488, or it's Cassie, CASSIE, at Motive8Advisors.com.
Yeah, remember, man, the nine and dimes are great golf appointments, you know, having situations where you get with your top 20 or farm club. You know, universities, focus groups, these are all really great ways of getting in front of people that don't necessarily break the bank right off the bat, but we can help you structure it. We've got the plans for it. Give Cassie a call. As always, thank you so much for listening to Motivate
You.
We appreciate y'all being part of our world. Keep the emails coming. If you have anything you want us to discuss, we would love to have that opportunity. You guys all have a great week and thank you for what you do. We appreciate you. Take care now.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye. Take it easy.